Good afternoon and welcome to The Lunchroom, sponsored by Navita Designs, powered by Rainer Construction and Industrial Products Limited. And we are live on Radio Caribbean International for Monday, November the 25th, day number 329 and of the year 2019. And we're on to show number 184. I'm your guest, Calix George Jr. And in addition to follow us on radio on 101.1 and 99.1 FM, you can also follow us live online. Just search for our website, rcistlucia.com, as well as Facebook Live. And you can look at the official page of Radio Caribbean International. And please like and share that as well with your friends. And on today's menu for our dish of the day, we'll just have a look at the issue of the conflict between courts and schools in terms of city planning in Castries. And for our entree, the sweet sound of music. Are we drumming to the right beat with St. Lucia's music? The power of music. And I'll be chatting with the coordinator of St. Cecilia Day activities, and that is Mr. Andrew Buffalo Odlam. And now a few birthday wishes for November the 25th. We'll get to that in a little bit because I seem to have misplaced those names, but we'll get to that. And of course, a bit of history today. In 1177, Baldwin IV of Jerusalem, known as the Leper King, and Reynald de Châtillon defeat the Muslim Salahuddin in the Battle of Montgisard. And that was captured in the epic 2005 movie Kingdom of Heaven, produced by Ridley Scott. And as well in history today, in 1952, Agatha Christie's murder mystery play The Mousetrap opens at the Ambassador's Theatre in London, and that became the longest continuously running play in history. And in 1975, Suriname receives its independence from the Netherlands, so it is happy independence to everybody from Suriname. And now we move on to our dish of the day. The Daily Dish is brought to you with the kind compliments of our good friends at Tiles Plus.
Come down and get tiled. Everybody welcome to Tiles Plus. Come get your tiles with the low cost. Tiles with the style like a Christmas. All kind of tiles, cars, we are the boss. Everybody welcome to Tiles Plus. Come get your tiles with the low cost. Tiles with the style like a crisscross. All kind of tiles, cars, we are the boss. We are located Lance Road in Castries, Bossy Jugros Delay, and Clark Street in VFR. Telephone number 453-7939. That's telephone number 453-7939. Tiles Plus.
Serving now, the Daily Dish.
And welcome back to The Lunchroom, powered by Navita Designs. I'm your host, Calix George Jr. And today, while classes have recommenced in the Castries City Center in the wake of the fire at the Judah Building on the William Peter Boulevard last week, Thursday, it certainly still is not business as usual for the students and staff of the Ave Maria Girls Infant School. And that, of course, is due last week on the same day of the fire. In Castries, there was also a bomb threat to the courthouse, the newly located courthouse at the corner of, I believe it is High and Coral Street, the southwest corner of High Street and Coral Street. And that courthouse places it just about one block away from the Ave Maria Girls School. Of course, we heard in the news today the concerns of parents in particular. There was a social media clip, an audio clip circulating last night, indicating that the Parent Teachers Association was planning to make their position known that they were in fact suffering as a result of this of these events and the proximity of the courthouse to the school. And of course, the issue there is that, as you would well imagine, courthouses can be places of conflict and people and places of high security. And we clearly are seeing, apparently there have been a number of bomb threats being made in terms of that courthouse building. And that has, in fact, affected the operations of the school. And it also has psychological impacts, as clearly was stated by the president, I believe, of the Parent Teachers Association, indicating that a lot of the children, of course, young children we're speaking of, had serious issues as to understanding why would somebody want to be attacking them or, you know, wanting to hurt them. And so it's certainly a very difficult scenario. And it certainly speaks to the overall situation of planning in terms of how we locate and site our various amenities and institutions. Of course, we know that the original courthouse in Castries, the High Court building on Pena Street, which was built back in the 1950s in the wake of the 1948 fire, that structure has been closed for some time now, primarily due to air quality issues. And the result is that there have been a number, well, in addition to the fact that there are now more courts than there were back in 1952. In fact, right now, I think they have somewhere in the region of about three or four criminal judges. There's also, of course, quite recently opened the commercial division of the High Court, which is located in the Laplace Carénage building. But that, in fact, has now been used not just for the commercial court, but pretty much all civil matters being held there. There was also Naira Court, a building in the vicinity of the Saab, which is also being used as a courthouse. And, of course, we still have the Magistrates Court, the District Court on Pena Street. But the overall vision has been for some time now the creation of one central halls of justice so that we would have better centralization of the judicial system in St. Lucia, a structure that could, in fact, hold magistrates courts, the family court, the registries as well, the library of the court, as well as the fact, and of course the high courts, which are both civil and criminal, and as well as the fact that we also are the host country of the headquarters of the Eastern Caribbean Supreme Court, which is located right here on the waterfront in Castries. So the idea really was to centralize all these courts, and there was, in fact, an OECS study that was done, I think, back in the region of 2010, looking at all across the Caribbean and establishing modern justice facilities in all these islands. Well, unfortunately, I don't think any of the Caribbean countries have actually moved forward with any of these proposals. Antigua, I know, has a modern courthouse. In the case of Grenada, they've chosen to go to construct a new parliament building before they've gone the route of a new courthouse. But in the case of St. Lucia, we are still lagging behind. And certainly, given the fact that we are the headquarters of the ECSC, we really should be taking some leadership with that in that regard. And now, of course, it's always a very difficult situation in urban planning to see where you put things and how you put things and how you may do things, where you may build a court in 1900 is certainly not where you may build one in 2000. Some people believe that, yes, maybe the court should be in the downtown, in the center of Castries, and there's that theory. But the reality is courts are fairly different structures. The amount of security that you now have to apply, how they are built in terms of wanting separate accesses for the public versus lawyers versus judges and back-of-house staff. All those things have to be segregated. It does require quite a bit more space than what is available in the downtown. And we've heard at one point there was a suggestion to place it at Barnard Hill, which was the site that was originally being looked at. Of course, even then, with the conflict with persons in the cultural sector came to the fore, and clearly they said that they wanted to preserve the Barnard Hill site, which had this historical connection with culture and, of course, where they would like to see a national theater or a national cultural center built. There was, after that, a proposal to build it at a new greenfield site, a new Halls of Justice in a greenfield site. And by greenfield, I mean in a space that doesn't have anything on it, really. And that was being looked at the Kubari area, and which is a 17-acre site somewhere in the vicinity of the roundabout on the other side, on the western side of the Millennium Highway. But we'll see how that pans out, because, of course, as governments come and governments go, there are different ideas as to how and where to site these various facilities. But clearly, the current situation with this courthouse at the corner of Coral and High Street seems to be posing a very grave concern to the individuals of the Ave Maria School. Indeed, I think there was also an issue with the buses, which used to park in that area, I believe. Was it the Rock Hall bus stand, which had to be relocated as well? So certainly we'll have to see how all those issues pan out in the future. And that's our dish of the day. When we come back, I'll be speaking with Mr. Andrew Buffalo Odlam and music, music, music.
This has been The Daily Dish.
Plus, style. Come plus, get your style. Style. We plus, have style. Style. Plus, we have styles for inside and outside. Bathroom, kitchen with the best price. We range from colors to size. So anytime you want tile, come down and get tile. Everybody welcome to Tiles Plus. Come get your tiles with the low cost. Tiles with the style like a Christmas. All kind of tiles, cause we are the boss. Everybody welcome to Tiles Plus. Come get your tiles with the low cost. Tiles with the style like a crisscross. All kind of tiles, cause we are the boss. We are located Lance Road in Castries, Bossy Jou Grosile, and Clark Street in VA4. Telephone number 453-7939. That's telephone number 453-7939. Tiles Plus.
And welcome back. Now, it is said that music is an international language. Everybody understands it pretty well. And I think that is certainly the case, so much so that our music in St. Lucia has certainly gone global. And we're seeing that quite a bit in the past few years, especially with the Denry segment craze. And I'm very pleased to have in studio with me somebody who's very, very familiar with the industry, Mr. Andrew Buffalo Odlam. First time here in the lunchroom. Welcome, sir, and thank you for joining us.
Oh, thank you, Galix. And it's definitely a pleasure being here. And the subject of the day is music, but it's a dish of the day every day. 7 days a week, 52.
And certainly on RCI, it is our staple right here.
Yeah,
it's Music Month, I do understand,
yes,
November.
It is.
Tell us about how that has been going.
Well, it's been going very, very, very well, Calix. And I have to say that to St. Lucia. Right now, our living, the liberty, it's people-centric. And music is an integral part of our livelihood. And now, music has become is one of the biggest economic generators globally. So we cannot be left behind in thinking that it's only a hobby or a part-time job, but it's actually a very, very crucial industrial platform and module that we could. There are modules that we could follow. You know,
we just came out of St. Cecilia's Day celebrations last week, Friday. And in fact, that came perhaps at a very stressful time for a lot of people in Castries as a result of this fire on the William Peter Boulevard. How were the celebrations this year? How would you characterize them?
Well, the musicians did come out to celebrate, and Thursday was a damper in general for the members of my committee. We are the Friends of St. Cecilia. And we've been organizing St. Cecilia's Day for the past 18 years. I've been doing it for the past 25, but we as a group. And we felt the damper, especially in the case of the Ave Maria School and the Castries Basin, which is an integral part of the celebration. Now, Music Month, Calix, it came about with a thought process that we were not just celebrating St. Cecilia's Day. We were celebrating the industry, we were celebrating the future, and we were celebrating the musicians. Now, for them to be an industry, musicians have to come together. And I must say, time's gone by. I remember my father being the owner of Big Six and a keyboard player. They would celebrate St. Cecilia's Day along with the police band and other musicians. So, you know, you would walk house to house, get on a vehicle, and most of them were employed in other forms, and music was not the mainstay of the economic generation, and the industry at the time, it wasn't one that was monetized, and that is what musicians say now. So in order to celebrate the month. We were looking at we say in my group, along with the Ministry of Creative Industries, and a lot of thought process coming from the Minister of responsible for culture, that what are the issues facing musicians? What are the thoughts? What are the sentiments in terms of their future in the music? So we were looking at how could we use Music Month to guide, to reprogram, to reprocess the whole concept, even what the average person think that the music or a musician.
So I noticed, for instance, with the curriculum officer for schools, I think he's at KAMDU, in fact, Mr. Yeah. Joseph. Yes. There were a number, Jason Joseph, yeah. Right, bachelor, former Calypsonian as
yes.
well,
yeah.
Or maybe he's a Calypsonian for life.
Yeah.
He is very much instrumental in these choir programs and these singing competitions. Was that all part of Music Month?
All part of Music Month. And it's time, you know, that we all come together, because there are different stages and different tiers of musicians. But we must start with the younger ones. We must start with the programming.
But let's talk about that a little yes. bit. The base, the foundational aspects mm-hmm. of music. Are you satisfied that we are doing enough at the level of schools and primary schools,
no.
High schools, secondary schools in St. Lucia to give music its fair place? Or is it still being treated somewhat as maybe well the subject that only gets about one or two slots in the week?
When a pronouncement is made by the United Nations that the next economic generating platform would be the creative industries, which include music, music performances and recordings, and the industry as a whole, the countries who are subject to or who have written on to the United Nations should have taken steps. So in the case of Mr. Joseph, we should have had by now at least 30 to 40 officers like Mr. Joseph.
Right.
Jason Bachelor Joseph, which means that from the school level, it is taught and these interested parties are prepared.
Can you say that music right now is being taught at all schools?
No, not at all schools.
And even where it is being taught, mm-hmm. is it still, no offense to the yeah. recorder and the system, I know how it used
no.
to be before.
No, it's more intensified now where there are schools that have orchestras. Mm-hmm. We have students practicing the violin, the cello, students learning the formality of music from as early as stage one, grade one, grade two. So definitely that is something to celebrate.
But we're still not seeing as many outcomes in terms of people writing CXC music, for
no,
example.
No,
that's
no,
not
that,
really
that,
happening,
that
is it?
The increase has not been, it's incremental, but it's not where we want to see it. Because when you look at subjects like accounting, CIS, and all these, there must be a form, it has to be as formalized as that these students who decide that they're going to go in the way of the creative industries, that government policies indicate that the interest is there and that they can actually learn the processes that will bring them up to mark to take part on the world stage. Because if you notice, the it's a multi-billion dollar industry, and you have to be prepared. Apart from your creativity, there is you need a marketing company. You need a lawyer. You need to protect your intellectual property. Then there's advertising. There's videography. There is recording. There is traveling. There is booking. You know, there must be the realization that this is big, and that the students who have decided that they are going to be part of the creative sector, that they are prepared, and that government institutions are ready to give them that boost and that preparatory period in their lives, that they could be all these different parts of the music industry and take part.
Right. But how is it all coming together? I know you said you're participating through the Ministry of Creative Industries.
Yes.
How is that coming on in terms of right. building that industry right. as of now?
What we saw this year was a lot of collaborating and a lot of consultation. The ministry supported a lot of consultations that, for one, the Association of Musicians, Producers and Performers, which is AMP, it's 13 years in the making. Finally, through the ministry, we have gotten that association registered and ready to go. We found that people like Boeingson have brought in consultations, you know, like the last year before, with international artists like Tracy Hamlin, that would come in and guide these artists and guide their craft, you know. We find the ministry supporting through CDF more videography, you know, and bringing in artists. For instance, part of Music Month, we brought in Mr. Michael Bennett from Jamaica. So you see, he's one who's associate. We had Savion here, you know, we had Serrani, our own, and they now, they had a consultation on Saturday that's at the Bay Garden Resort, which was well attended. We saw people from the youth groups, I mean, through the Office of the Prime Minister and the NYC. We saw that the musicians came, they were students, and they went to different schools, you know, with Shemi J and his group. They went to 12 different schools, and they were supported by the ministry. So these are the programs that we are looking to push and enforce and to give life to that industry from the primary, secondary, and infant school standpoint.
Is there a strategy that is being formulated that is really going to encapsulate the entire sector? Yes. I mean, it seems a lot of work has been done over the years, mm-hmm. but is there really a national strategy at this point in time that looks not just at one ministry, for instance, the Ministry of Creative Industries or the Ministry of Culture, but also is looking at all the other aspects, whether it's tourism, whether it's education, and how that all fits in together?
Okay, well, there was a music forum held last week mm-hmm. On the 16th at the town hall, which was attended by the executive director of the CDF, ministry officials, including the Minister of Culture. And what she wanted was us to formulate a direction, a paper. So then a small committee was formed, and we would bring this to the ministry, and through the Ministry of Creative Industries, they would bring in the Ministry of Education, the Office of the Prime Minister, bring in the Ministry of Tourism, all the entities that would be, which are players in the music industry. So apart from just celebrating the music, we actually were planning a new direction towards the industry, and we got a lot of support. I mean, we have another group that is formed called Balance, and they are charged with the business aspect of music, how to monetize the industry. So they're talking to the Denry segment, they're talking to the Calypsonians, and they're talking to music administrators as to partnerships that could be formed, you know, insurances. We talk about medical insurances, pensions and stuff. So they right now, there is a think tank, and we are taking that on request of the minister to the ministry, and we are going to put pressure. We are going to keep that pressure on because it is needed, and the interest is coming from, I mean, the interest is coming from all aspects of our society. So, I mean, like you said, music, it be the food of life, and we have to let it breathe, and we have to consume it. So right now, we have to create the platform that it could be monetized, it could be formalized, and the industry itself could be one we present to the young ones and say, listen, with your creativity and your talent, this is what we do, and these are the opportunities we as a government and other entities could present that would help you move forward.
Now, before we get even further, I think we're going to have to take a break at this point in time, yeah. Mr. Odlam, for our weather news. Of course, it's actually now pouring outside here in South Sea. Yeah. So we'll take a break for our weather, and when we come back, we'll continue that conversation and, of course, take some calls.
Of course. Oh, oh, oh.
Christmas!
Yes, it's that time again. Navita Designs, now housed at Rayner Construction and Industrial Products Limited, Vite Boutte, is all stocked and ready to offer you the most unique and elegant Christmas decor for any space. Whether it's white Christmas, red and white peppermint, multicolored candy, or the more contemporary, elegant combinations, we've got it. Don't forget that small accent pieces goes a long way to give that wow effect. And what says Christmas more than the act of giving? So remember to pick up all your gift wrapping essentials and Christmas stockings to bring good cheer. At Navita Designs, we do the creative thinking for you. Visit us at our new showroom in Vite Boutte on the John Compton Highway or call us at 450-7246. Navita Designs Christmas Collection, sponsored by Rayner Construction and Industrial Products Limited. Let the magic begin.
Fritas! Fritas! Come and get your fritas here! Yeah. We're giving them away at Island Style, Thailand Bat!
So are you mad? What you mean fritas?
Well, madam, for every 100 tiles you buy at our regular price at Island Style, we'll give you up to an amazing 25 tiles free!
Really?
And to be honest, yeah, we've probably gone a little mad.
Wow, that's a deal! And good timing too! So I can pretty up my house in time for Christmas! And look how nice those tiles are!
Fritas! Fritas! Ceramic tiles! Porcelain tiles! All tiles! No exception! Visit us at Bella Rosa, Rodney Bay, John Crompton Highway, Cass Trees, and Latoni, View 4. Call 452-450-453. Tile!
Attention, attention, attention. Introducing Palmer Automotive Batteries, a leading brand in Asia, now in St. Lucia. Palmer Automotive Batteries are now available at Battery World Plus, Rodney Bay and Massad, Shamari's Garage, Blair's Auto and other leading store outlets. Palmer batteries are of the highest quality and standard with full warranty. Palmer is powered by cutting-edge technology and the leader of the new era. Palmer brand, the best price batteries on the market. Call us today, 453-7037, 451-2264, or 450-0390.
Caribbean Metals Limited presents Spin to Win promotion. Spend $500 or more and get a chance to spin to win instant prizes. Spend $2,500 or more and get a chance to spin and enter into the grand prize draw. We have not forgotten our account holders. Pay on your account and get the same chance to win. Promotion runs the first week every month until December. The grand prize, $5,000 cash on December 6, 2019. Like, share, and subscribe to our pages on the various social platforms for more details. Terms and conditions apply. This promotion is approved by the National Lotteries Authority. Caribbean Metals, we've got you covered. Guaranteed.
Get 5 weeks free when you buy home or contents insurance from Beacon. Our insurance is very affordable, and we've got online and mobile services for your convenience. Call us at 458-5860 or log on to beacon.co.tt for a quote today.
This is Radio Caribbean International. It's now time for the weather news.
Well, let us now take a look at the latest weather report as of 12 noon today, the 25th of November, 2019, our forecast of this hour, Webster Gajada. The present weather at Huronera, partly cloudy. The present temperature at Huronera, 29 degrees Celsius or 84 degrees Fahrenheit. And last night's minimum temperature at Huronera was 26 degrees Celsius or 79 degrees Fahrenheit. Wind at Huronera is blowing from the east at 17 miles per hour or 28 kilometers. After a 24-hour period ended at 8 a.m., there was 12.9 millimeters of rainfall recorded at Huronera and 4.3 millimeters recorded at George Charles. The total rainfall for the month of November thus far, 106.7 millimeters at Huronera and 76.2 millimeters at George Charles. Sun will set today, 28 minutes before 6 and rise in the morning at 9 minutes after 6. Now for the forecast for St. Lucia, valid for the next 24 hours. The winds blowing from the east near 21 miles per hour or 33 kilometers. And the weather, partly cloudy to cloudy with scattered showers, some of which may be heavy, and a chance of isolated thunderstorms. And there's a call for residents and motorists in areas prone to flooding and landslides. You're asked to be vigilant. So again, a recap of the forecast for St. Lucia, valid for the next 24 hours. The winds blowing from the east near 21 miles per hour or 33 kilometers, and the weather, partly cloudy to cloudy with scattered showers, some of which may be heavy, and a chance of isolated thunderstorms. And again, a call for residents and motorists in areas prone to flooding and landslides to be vigilant. The marine forecast foresees in a 25-mile or 40-kilometer radius from St. Lucia. High tide for the Castries Harbor, 24 after 2 this afternoon, and the low tide will be at 3 minutes after 9 tonight. And for the Vierfort Bay, the high tide will be at 29 before 4 this afternoon, and the low tide will be at 10:30 tonight. The seas are moderate to locally rough. The waves are 5 to 7 feet, the same as 1.5 to 2.1 meters in open waters. And the small craft operators and sea bathers, you are advised to exercise caution due to above normal seas. So all the small craft operators out there that's normally tuned in at this hour to pay attention to the marine forecast, well, here it goes. Small craft operators, sea bathers, you are advised to exercise caution due to above normal seas. We are looking at moderate to locally rough waves with up to 7 feet in open waters. So that's your forecast, your marine forecast. For the Lesser Antilles, it's partly cloudy to cloudy with scattered showers and isolated thunderstorms over the Windward Islands and areas further south. Over the Leeward Islands, fair to partly cloudy with a few scattered showers. So again, for the Lesser Antilles, it's partly cloudy to cloudy with scattered showers and isolated thunderstorms over the Windward Islands and areas further south. And over the Leeward Islands, we're looking at fair to partly cloudy with a few scattered showers. The tropical weather outlook, let's see what's really contributing to that. Moisture and instability associated with a tropical wave, oh, there we go, will continue to cause cloudiness, showers, and isolated thunderstorms over most of the Lesser Antilles today and tomorrow. And tropical cyclone formation, we are not expecting any of those to develop over the tropical Atlantic at least for the next 5 days. And that is good news. But we are experiencing that weather that we are experiencing right now that is due to moisture and instability associated with a tropical wave, which will continue to cause these cloudiness, showers, and isolated thunderstorms over most of the Lesser Antilles today and tomorrow. So please be guided. Again, don't forget, we've got two advisories from the Met Service. One for residents and motorists in areas prone to flooding and landslides, you're asked to be vigilant. And for small craft operators and sea bathers, you're asked to exercise caution due to above normal seas. That is our official weather report at this hour. Thank you, Webster, for the update. You can join us again in the morning, 6:30 for our next official report from the Met Service. Weather was made possible by Island Style Thailand Bath, Battery World Plus, Caribbean Metals, and Beacon Insurance.
This has been RCI's Weather News. For more information, call the Weather Hotline at 454-3452. RCI 101 number 1.
Free tires, come and get your free tires, yeah. We're giving them away at Island Style Thailand Bath.
So all your mad, what you mean free tires?
Well, madam, for every 100 tires you buy at our regular price at Island Style,
we'll give you up to an amazing 25 tires free.
Really?
And to be honest,
yeah,
we've probably gone a little mad.
Wow,
that's a deal. And good timing too, so I can pretty up my house in time for Christmas. And look how nice those tires are.
Free tires, ceramic tires, porcelain tires, all tires, no exception.
Visit us at Bella Rosa, Rodney Bay, John Crompton Highway, Cash Trees, and Latoni, View 4. Or call 452-450-453. Tire.
Attention, attention, attention. Introducing Palmer Automotive Batteries, a leading brand in Asia, now in St. Lucia. Palmer Automotive Batteries are now available at Battery World Plus, Rodney Bay and Massad, Shimari's Garage, Blair's Auto, and other leading store outlets. Palmer batteries are of the highest quality and standard with full warranty. Palmer is powered by cutting-edge technology and the leader of the new era. Palmer brand, the best priced batteries on the market. Call us today, 453-7037, 451-2264, or 450-0390.
Caribbean Metals Limited presents Spin to Win promotion. Spend $500 or more and get a chance to spin to win instant prizes. Spend $2,500 or more and get a chance to spin and enter into the grand prize draw. We have not forgotten our account holders. Pay on your account and get the same chance to win. Promotion runs the first week every month until December. The grand prize, $5,000 cash on December 6, 2019. Like, share, and subscribe to our pages on the various social platforms for more details. Terms and conditions apply. This promotion is approved by the National Lotteries Authority. Caribbean Metals, we've got you covered. Guaranteed.
Get 5 weeks free when you buy home or contents insurance from Beacon. Our insurance is very affordable, and we've got online and mobile services for your convenience. Call us at 458-5860 or log on to beacon.co.tt for a quote today.
And welcome back to the lunchroom. I'm speaking with Andrew Buffalo Odlam, and we're discussing the power of music, the music industry in St. Lucia. And we have about 19 more minutes to go. And of course, it seems that we have some differences between the islands when it comes to music. We were just speaking during the break about the seemingly Well, in St. Lucia, we don't use as much live bands as would be, let's say, in the case of Dominica, where a live band is almost necessary if you're having a party, you're having some sort of big event. And of course, that suggests that there's a richness of the music industry in that country as opposed to St. Lucia. We seem to depend a lot more on DJs. What's your thought about that?
Well, you that observation has been branded around for a long time, and we probably haven't done much to remedy it. And it's not that we have anything against the DJs. DJs are an integral part of the industry. Right here, we have Marine, we have Iowa. I mean, these people promote us as a country. But when we go back to us as a society, that the music comes from musicians, and it doesn't make sense a musician, or we as musicians, are recording artists and we're not playing. And what you find that there's been a vacuum, and that vacuum has been filled by DJs and the Denry segment.
And but then you hear so much about St. Lucian bands who are on cruise ships around the world.
Yes, yeah. I was coming to that. And right now, the hotel industry came about where most of the bands had disappeared into the hotel industries. Mm-hmm. And we had very popular bands in the hotel industry. The arrival of the cruise ship industries, because of the lack of formality, and musicians finding it hard to survive as musicians in St. Lucia, you find that there are many St. Lucian bands, as many as up to 30 St. Lucian bands, making us proud, yes, but they are on cruise ships and not on island.
So it seems as we're suffering from some sort of a brain drain or
a brain drain when it comes to that.
But now, isn't that an opportunity then in that instance?
It is an opportunity, but you don't find a lot of these bands come back to perform or are recording bands. And what part of the industry? Yes, it's monetized because they actually make a living of it.
But is there an opportunity perhaps to have more competition in that area
Well, yes.
We have to make
our hotel product interesting enough where our bands could stay here, perform in the hotels, and make their livelihoods as well as they can do it being on a cruise ship. Because the industry is one and the same. The fact is the conditions in St. Lucia are different. So these are the conditions we are determined that will improve in the not too distant future. That between the hotels, the ministry,
do you think there should be special protection for that type of music and cultural infusion in the tourism sector? Because I mean, we have heard of stories of imported, not musicians perhaps, but entertainment.
Yes.
At some of these hotels.
Well, I believe that we need to organize ourselves as musicians, first and foremost. Because if you're going to make a plea to government and to the hotel and regularize the employment aspect of our music, we have to be organized, we have to be regulated, and we have to be serious about the product. And I think all that is part of the consultation that's going on. I mean, Calix, let's go back. If you look at the 1960s, we had in excess of 35 bands performing, from Two Tones right down to bands that don't exist anymore.
35?
Yes. Right. Now, if True Tones, Boohington, okay, performed in 1979 at Super Bowl, we were doing something right. You know, Sesen performed around the Caribbean. Big Six was around Grenada, and Barbados, Dominica, including Quavers, including Vibratones, including the Beaufort alone had six bands, and they were all very popular in Castries. And don't talk about Soufre. Soufre has always had its own niche, you know. But then there came that period after the 80s where the bands were all defunct, and nobody
did they suffer perhaps from a migration of people going to seek opportunities outside?
The industry change. And with an industrial change where music electronically and all the aspects that
recording became a lot more important.
That's right. We were not armed. These musicians were not armed with these tools to prepare for that shift. There was a paradigm shift in the music industry. And being monetized within the 90s, musicians were making and recordings. The money that began coming. People who saw the opportunity migrated.
We have a call coming. Let's take this call very quickly. Yeah. Good afternoon and welcome to the lunchroom. What's on your plate today? It looks like we've lost that. Of course, the number here is 4523046. 4523046.
Calix, we have the wherewithal and we have the interest. Going back, you look at it that we have people like, we have Youth in Action, June Frederick. We have Delia Fosua. We have 758 Books. We have Barry George. We have Hayden Ford. We have these people who are waiting. Up to this morning, there was a consultation on the preservation.
And you also have studio owners like Corey Raggi.
That's right. A consultation on how we preserve our traditional music, the mazook, the lakomet, and all these, the instruments, and how do we get these traditions to live on. And it's necessary that we get these traditions to live on. Get the young people involved. And what obtains now is that traditional music is treated like a stepchild. La Rose and La Marguerite, it just comes up and you wake up on a Monday and it's La Rose and Marguerite, La Marguerite is this weekend. No, we have to, it has to be celebrated on the same scale as the jazz festival. So first and foremost, we have to give respect to these traditional musicians. And we have to honor them, and we have to make sure that there is a life after they retire from music.
Let's take a break for a call coming in at this point. Good afternoon, and welcome to the lunchroom. What's on your plate today?
Oh, very strictly veg.
Oh, very well then. Well, I hope you're sharing. Go right ahead, caller.
Yeah. No, Buffalo, I've listened to the people in the music, so-called industry in San Lucia. I don't know much about it. But you see, I was in music. The Big Six is 2 years at my home in Coral Street.
That's right.
You wouldn't know about that. You're maybe not born yet. But I was in Live Wire too. I watched Terry Wilson operate, how he did all his marketing and got that to be a very popular show in San Lucia. And I did a lot of things with people, but I know much about the industry. But what I know is that you cannot teach fish to climb trees. And it's a waste of time giving medicine to the dead. A lot of the artists we have in St. Lucia there, they are ready at that. A lot of the fellas who you probably think happening, they are already happening now. The fellas going down New York there, they even have 20 people in the hall, and sometimes 200 grand they get from government. I bring band Belgium, Germany, all them non-traditional places there, without aside from anybody.
We talking to Jati?
Yeah.
Okay, all right, well, buddy.
A lot of the artists and them, they have aptitudes, but they haven't got aptitude. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying there.
Well, but Jati, let me tell you, the artists are part of the society that we've been breeding. And
no, but that's the point. The point is, you say you're going somewhere with it, but how can you change the direction of that attitude?
Well, Jati is not a Jati or a Buffalo thing. It's not about me. It's about taking all the interested parties, and
you
there are many. Yes, but
you
this
see that,
time...
Dabi and I went by PRS and get that song there. I did original in nearly everything that going on, calypso, all and things there. Mm-hmm. But I telling you what the problem is. You know how many men I give his songs already?
Well, Jati, we know that.
Nothing happened.
Well, but Jati, you see, at this stage, you did your leg of the race, and I believe that...
I do no leg.
No, that your the era has to be honored and that. But, you know, it's not a situation where we don't have a choice. We cannot give up on the future or the musical future of this country. We know what has happened. You know what people like you have been through.
Yo.
I know what I've been through.
Yo.
I wish I had the interest that
you
is generated now when I was younger. But we cannot stay back and ponder on what transpired 30, 40 years ago.
Political thing. And we have two fellas, A and Boo, collecting all the resources that are supposed to go into culture. Them two fellas alone draining public sector and private sector.
Well,
now, there are fellows like you have political connection. You could get a little money to do St. Cecilia's Day. But there are people who have better ideas than that. They are giving nothing, and you are talking about that.
But is it that the pool is too small, caller? Is that the,
no, I don't think that's about it.
Is that the problem, that there's not enough support?
Jati.
Thanks very much, caller.
Yeah, Jati, we have done St. Cecilia's Day for many, many years without support from any or without any governmental support. It was supported by the private sector and me.
But coming back to the whole issue of bans, though, is it too expensive? Is that the other issue too? I mean, it's much easier for somebody to become a DJ.
Yeah.
Once you have a laptop, once you have the software, you can get download music. But to start a band, you need equipment. You need musical equipment. That's pretty costly, isn't it?
Right now, there are opportunities for the younger ones leaving school. Who want to play instruments. And like you said, Calix, if you want to go into starting a band, you're talking about a costly venture of easily $200,000. Now, in some places, that's subsidized by government. I remember Barbados had a program a couple of years ago under the Owen Arthur when he took the Ministry of Culture into his ministry, into his office. And he made sure all these bands were refinanced and they resurfaced. And we talk about Square One and all these bands. So people, are given jobs, but what comes out is their passion. And we see that people take their passion and sometimes they make it flourish. And the musicians, for years, the industry of music being neglected. And right now there's the realization that the importance is being placed on as to where we can, the opportunities we can bring forward to bring the music industry forward.
We have another call coming in. Let's take this one. Good afternoon and welcome to the lunchroom. What's on your plate today?
Hi, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, caller. Go right ahead.
Yeah, I'd like to say, first of all, there's a live band playing at Bellevue, which I enjoy every night.
Bellevue. Okay, Bellevue Hotel, yes.
Yes, it's very good. And are you talking about giving the musicians a platform? Okay. We have this thing on National Day. You know, National Day, we have the horse face National Day.
Mm-hmm.
And then how nationalistic are we when, we bring in, foreign artists like Jackie O and Patrice Roberts, instead of giving our national entertainers a platform? Because she said that there'll be many people, lots of people, private jets. You don't know, there might be some producer there might, just sign up on, but then when you have, foreign artists come in, big name foreign artists, isn't it going to overshadow our artists? You're talking about the La Comet and all of those things. I just said Nicola, what's her name? She's from Monrepo. She came out with a lovely song. Why weren't those people given a chance to perform at that thing? If we say it's National Day, why all of those people don't get a chance at that free show instead of it being overshadowed by, artists from other countries? Because they will not do that in their country on the National Day.
Yeah, but, well, Carla, I don't have control as to what happens with the what happens at the National Day celebration where the horse race is concerned.
Mm-hmm.
But notwithstanding that, years gone by, there are many foreign artists who have come to perform in St. Lucia on National Day, with much to the protest of a lot of, performers and musicians. So there is not a policy preventing any artists to come and perform. And maybe they should look into it, but there is not.
Stop it, because
there is not
enough entertainment. You have this guy who works with creative industries, T. Blacks. He performed at the, what's his name, that guy from Soufre. He had this challenge.
Arthur Alley.
Yeah.
It was just great watching those young people perform. And T-Plax doesn't only sing Calypso. I could not believe
the amount of talent.
I was blown away when I heard him sing an R&B.
Right, now.
You have all those people, give them a chance to perform instead of you bringing down people and you say it's National Day.
And Carla, I support you 100% that we have to create the opportunities and support the opportunities like these that will bring our young talent to the fore.
Yes.
And like you say, right now we're operating on a global stage.
Yes.
This weekend we had Mike Bennett from Jamaica. He's one of the biggest producers, and who knows? Who knows? He's actually working with our local guy. So we cannot make it a foreign thing. Oh. We have our guitarist, one of our best guitarists now touring with an international reggae group. And he was discovered here. So it's not a matter of keeping the foreigners out.
No,
it's a matter of equipping the industry or the performers with the wherewithal. And that's where marketing comes in. Contractual agreements, your lawyer, the legal aspect of it. Having your videos done, knowing where to, because there is, at every stage, the artists you mentioned that have the talent, that is the first stage. But then we know that where the industry, it begs for the professionalism, that then you have to bring in somebody to market them. You have to educate them as far as contractual arrangements are concerned and all these aspects of the industries that we are wanting. And, you know, we are trying to equip them and, you know, get them, create the awareness that this is where the industry is going.
They're getting too much lip service down here. Our artists are getting more lip service and nothing much.
Yes, well, let me tell you, I am on the side of the fence where the artists are concerned, and I will always be, no matter where I find myself politically. And where the, I think something, we are trying, we are gaining some traction, and we are going to fight to make sure this industry goes where we, the artists, want it to go.
Thank you very much, caller. So will there be a reinstatement of things like the grant system? Because I know that tends to be a very critical issue, as you mentioned, how costly it is to set up a band, how costly it is to produce a song. So clearly the need to actually putting money where your mouth is certainly is going to be very important. Right. But let's just take another call very quickly. Good afternoon and welcome to the lunchroom. What's on your plate today?
Hello.
Good afternoon, caller. Go right ahead.
This is in reference to the previous caller and the point that she was making regarding bringing foreign talent for an event in St. Lucia. I think the point the lady was making is that this is a state-funded event, and it's not the same as a private promoter bringing in foreign talent for the shows. This is a state-sponsored event on National Day, and I think the lady made a very valiant point. I just wanted to make that.
Oh, yeah. No, nobody. I agreed with her, and I was never...
Thanks very much, caller.
...to say that it wasn't a valid point.
No, I suppose, well, again, that's where policy comes in, I suppose, and to ensure that if you have a music policy, which will impact all of government, government procurement, when it comes to the whole issue of, well, if we are in fact having shows, you know, how much of it should be local, that sort of thing. Because clearly, if we are going to develop the industry, there will have to be some level of, if you will, like, protectionism.
Let's look at a simple aspect that one would have thought that one would have not to legislate. We have DJs who are musicians. We have DJs who take part internationally, carnivals, they represent St. Lucia. And we have some DJs who are now vocalists and recording artists. When you look at in the case of remuneration for the artists, we wait every year from ECHO to see what would be derived. We're speaking money. If 90% of the revenue collected from ECHO goes out, it means our own DJs are not playing our music. St. Lucian music is not being played enough that what is derived on an annual basis could sustain an artist. As much as, yes, there are artists who are collecting thousands, but the majority of artists are not collecting because how can I indoctrinate a DJ to play more local music?
But the industry has changed quite a bit, hasn't it, over the years? I mean, we were speaking about how in the 80s there was this shift towards recording. Everybody was recording more. That's how you would make money, through a sale of cassettes and recordings, whatever the case may be, then DVDs and CDs. Yeah, but right now it's all about performance.
Live performance.
Because the internet out there, everything is out there almost for free. So live performance
and social media.
And social media. Yeah. So the industry has changed. But then the tools now that the musician has to have, they have to be a much better performer. They have to have stage presence. They have to be able to...
The pressure is... Mind you, Calix.
Can you hold that point just very quickly?
Pressure is on the artist.
So we can take another call. Good afternoon. Welcome to the lunchroom. What's on your plate today?
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, caller. Go right ahead.
Yeah. It just baffles me as to why is it that our DJs do not play local music. I have gone to many activities, you know, where I've had to go to a DJ and ask him, do you have any local music? And they say, yes. I'm like, can you play something local? And eventually start playing something local. I just don't know why. Is there something about the psyche of a DJ that he just does not feel that our local music is good enough? I'll listen on the radio.
Well, I imagine it would depend on the event that you're attending. You want to comment on that, though?
I don't want to really comment on that because the observation has been made as to, I don't know which event he
is referring to. Yeah.
I don't know which event he's, and maybe it was event specific,
exactly.
And the DJ was doing a particular job.
Yeah.
But I will not say all DJs in St. Lucia don't play local music. No, that is not the case. Yeah. We have DJs who, we have DJs and radio announcers who make it their duty because they have the passion for local music. And everybody, as from an individual standpoint, has their own taste. But when you talk about the industry from a policy standpoint, Canada
Let's take another call very quickly.
Yeah.
Good afternoon and welcome to the lunchroom. What's on your plate today?
Good afternoon and good afternoon to Mr. Buffalo.
It's Buffalo. Don't try that,
yeah, as someone who has contributed in this area, I want to say that I'm very disappointed what I'm seeing happening right now as far as our music industry is concerned. I see, for example, something that cannot be denied. Our jazz festival has been reduced to practically nothing. We have a situation where, and I must say, well, this is Shazi Chalo, former cultural attaché to the Consul General's office in Martinique. We built a very positive linkage between Martinique and Saint Lucia for our artists, you know? And what has happened in the last 3 years? Absolutely nothing. We have a situation where a Monster won a Caribbean song competition, came home with 5,000 euros in his pocket. You know what I'm saying? We should have built on that. We haven't. You know what I'm saying? I in 3-4 months of my going to that office, we initiated the, one of the biggest events ever in the Consul General's office, where over 5,000 to 6,000 Martinicans and Saint Lucians came out to witness many of our local artists, where we celebrated our 14th of December celebration. You know what I'm saying? What has done? What has been done to continue that? Many of our artists.
Okay, caller, we're over time, but we're going to have to take another call very quickly. Thank you very much for your call.
Shazi,
just hold on, please. Good afternoon and welcome to the lunchroom. What's on your plate today?
Good afternoon to you and good afternoon to you, brother Buffalo.
Yeah, good evening.
What's on my plate today? I better even say who am I. I'm here with Salty Boots. I am involved with YouthFest that has been on for this year, will be the 16th year.
Mm-hmm.
I want to invite brother Buffalo to come down on the 15th to our show so that you can do some scouting. For the past 2 years, we have been concentrating on our young artists doing only local music.
Excellent.
Our only local music. And I just want to invite you to come down and try to have a touch with us and to see what we are doing so that we can move our, this musical industry forward. There are a lot of artists in St. Lucia who have gone through YouthFest. And I just want to encourage us to bud it at the root. The young people, this is where I am right now, pushing the young people. And I would like to encourage you, my brother, to come down and join us and to help us move that forward. I just want the better for us.
Right. Thank you very much, caller.
And yes, and it's not about me, but I could put you in touch with people like Youth in Action. I could put you in touch with entities like Friends of St. Cecilia and AMP that's being formed. So it will not, because we want to come in. I will be attending what you invite me to. But we want to come in and bring in the people who have the interest and the people who can make a difference. So I'm definitely interested in that, but I'm going to bring in the other people who can actually help drive your program.
We're getting a lot of emphasis right now in terms of Denry segment, of course, worldwide. But there are also a lot of other St. Lucians out there in different types of music.
You talk about R&B.
Making some really amazing progress, indeed.
Yeah, performers. St. Lucians in Taiwan.
Carol Victor recently participating in an event
so,
there.
So, Calix, that's my that's
Caleb
my
George Caleb recently George. With, in terms of his own classical music.
Yeah,
But are we growing that aspect of the industry fast enough, though? The fundamental parts of the industry.
You see, I came from a generation. Maybe I had too much patience, but with these young artists, they don't have it. This is the now generation, the new millennial, that we have to put the policies and the money in the right place and the right places to facilitate these young artists and to facilitate the people who are looking to change the policy that would bring this industry forward. There is no time. It's not yesterday. It is now. And that is why there was the Music Forum. And we're going to take it to the government that these artists are not going to be left behind. And Chazi made his point. But Chazi, for 3 years now, the Jazz Festival has been changed based on the government's policy. With the new dispensation, in my view, I have seen more local artists getting a chance on the big stage. And like anything else, I have given it some time to see which direction and how it's coming into fruition as to what is being or what or the achievement that has to be attained. And we as a people, the artists, it's not about the government. We can change that. But the opportunity is there that I'm seeing more local artists, I'm seeing more opportunities, and because of that, we see more collaborative efforts formed regionally and internationally. So, Chazzy, certain things we have to allow it to grow, and we are looking very much at having maybe an all-local music festival during the summer.
Andrew Buffalo Odlam, unfortunately, we are way over time at this point in time. So regarding of how things go in the future, thanks very much.
Once again, Skylix, I'd like to thank you for having me here. It's not about me. It's something I've lived my life through music, and I want to see the industry made in a way that the youths come in can benefit from it.
Wonderful. Thank you again. Right. Now, of course, November the 11th was Remembrance Day, and we did want to do a special on that. And I think it's very timely. We'll be doing that tomorrow. And my guests in studio are going to be Dr. Gregor Williams, and he's the author of Unsung Heroes, as well as 98-year-old World War II veteran Mr. Haynes Cyril, who happens also to be the former chief fire officer of St. Lucia. So he'll have some very interesting perspectives as well about the fire in Castries. And so certainly it'll be a very, very good show tomorrow. So please tune in and be sure not to miss that. On Wednesday, we hope to have the leader of the opposition, the Honorable Philip J. Pierre, in studio. Friday, for sure, we're going to be speaking about St. Lucia Rugby. And we're going to have some representatives of the St. Lucia Rugby Association. And on Thursday, we're hoping to have some individuals in from the OECS talking about their learning program there. And that's all the time we have, unfortunately, from the lunchroom. I'm your host, Calix George Jr., wishing you a very good day.